I guess that gets pulled to the way somehow.
Yeah. So I don't hear anything, basically, coming from your background.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, because I'm
It's very clear.
That is nice, because I'm kind of in an open room as well, so I was kind of paranoid that, oh shit, because it's not too enclosed, maybe there's too much background noise coming through, but...
Okay. Cool. It's legging season.
It's
outside.
Already? Yeah. Let's actually just say hello to the people listening. Hello. What do we call them? Just listeners? Hello, listeners. I don't know what to call people tuning in.
Listeners, participants, family, friends.
Oh, I like that. Listeners, participants, families, and friends. I love that. That's actually really good. That's cool.
Hey.
So it's legging season.
It's legging season, definitely. It's that time of the year where, and it's not even just women anymore. So we're all out there wearing leggings, man.
Hey, I mean, I'm not trying to dog on anyone for doing anything. I didn't know the guys. It's that time for the guys to come out. To be honest,
I'm saying, man.
To be honest, do you know what I always found weird about this world? How women can literally steal your clothes and walk around in it, and it's blessed. It's fine. No one even bats an eye. But when a guy walks around in a kilt or skirt, all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. What are you doing?
This is facts. I'm not quite sure why that is, come to think of it. There's probably a deep psychological reason that I've not yet gotten into, but that is definitely an observation. Yeah. Because women can get away with wearing anything, clothes-wise.
Anything, dude. Yeah. Even at work. At work, you see the guys coming in shirts and ties and smart trousers, smart shoes looking crisp. And the women are just coming in their casual clothes. I'm like, hey, what is this? What is this injustice? I would love to come in just my shirt, like my t-shirt. Like, come on, man.
Why don't you?
Well, here's the thing, so at my schools, I'm not technically hired by the school. I'm hired by my company. So I am now not only representing foreigners, but I'm representing the company as well. So I have to come in looking fresh to death because, you know, I'm not just representing me or wherever I'm coming from. I'm representing the company. I asked this to the teachers before because they were coming in looking casual, and they're like, yeah, so you can't, like... If you were a part of the school, we would allow you to, but because you're not, you're from another company, you have to ask your company. If your company says you have to come in smart, you have to come in smart.
That's mad. So essentially, the way you dress is speaking for not only your company, and then by extension, British people, but probably also Black British people.
Yep.
So whatever you do, they're like, yep, that's how they all roll. That's how they all roll.
No actual joke, but in one of my schools, one of the English teachers literally came up to me one day. I think it was a few months ago when it was still winter. Winter to spring was still a bit chilly. And he was like, do you guys wear cardigans? I'm like, you do understand Britain invented cardigans. You do understand that. We invented that. And then the next day, he wore one and I wore one. And then they all started laughing because, oh yeah, he's definitely British. Look at him coming in his cardigan. So that was actually pretty...
Sick. Oh, man.
Legging season. So even the guys are wearing leggings in Germany, yeah?
Yeah, man. There's dudes out here. They decide, oh, I want to go for a run or even just to walk. Just to walk. And guys of all ages, to be honest, it's usually the older guys. So the younger dudes, they're in their own thing. But you see guys in their 50s and up. They're at that stage in their life where it's like,
they don't give a shit.
I'm all out of fucks to give. I'm about all out of fucks to give. So if I want to wear leggings and have people see my bulge while I walk down the street, so it shall be. Who's going to stop me?
Oh, I love that. I love the older you get, the less shits you give because you have less life left. You're like, what you going to do with me, huh? I've got less life left. I don't care. Oh,
exactly.
I feel that as well, you know. I'm not going to lie. Once I hit this... No, 30, I didn't hit it. I didn't feel it. But 31, I was like, oh, sugar. But shit, dude, I'm old. And I stopped caring about a few things. I stopped caring. Mm. I don't know if you felt that.
Oh, most definitely. It was probably even before that. I was like, bro, I just don't care. So I would start going outside in my gown. I would start going outside in my gown. It was raining last week.
Please explain this. What do you mean a gown?
Gown, just like the gown that I wear in the house.
What is a gown? You know? Please explain to the listeners. What do you mean by a gown?
What is a gown?
Yeah,
it's like... you might call it a nightgown or a dressing gown. So it's, but it's the, you know, the long, soft piece of cloth. It's like a robe.
It's like a robe.
Yeah.
But
one of those things. You can get them from Primark.
I was just checking. So, okay, you're going out.
One of those rooms. I would just go outside in that and just walk down to the end of the road just to experience it. It was raining last week and I went outside barefoot. I said, I don't want to put on shoes.
This is different, Aaron. This is different. This is different than just...
Why is it different?
Because, like, I understand that you just want to go down in a dressing gown. That's fine. Yeah? In your gown, that's fine. But then to go out without shoes, especially on the pavement... I mean, I don't know how clean the pavement is in Germany. Is it that clean that you could just walk down the street with barefoot?
This shit is cleaner than London, I tell you that.
Well, to be honest, London is just a grimy ass city anyway. It's been grimy since centuries, man. The Thames was literally full of shit, mate. So it's been a grimy city for a long time.
Yeah.
I didn't know Germany was that clean.
I don't know if I'd do the same in London, to be honest. I don't know if I would do the same in London. But here, I'm pretty comfortable just walking outside with my shoes off. I'll take my shoes off. I say, you know what? I feel...
Give me a sec. We have to pause. Keep talking. Sorry. I gotta go. Give me a sec.
All right. Do I need to record? I don't know. I'm gonna just keep talking. Yeah. So I went outside. It was raining. And I wanted to feel the wet ground beneath my feet because why not? There's a certain element of disgust, I guess, of discomfort that comes with it. And for me, I just felt as though I want to experience it. This is something that I want to experience. And more, I've gotten into the habit of taking off my shoes, taking off my socks, and just touching the ground, touching the earth. Like, this is where I live. This is where I come from. I might as well get comfortable.
Okay, I heard the comfortable part. Sorry, I am back. So I apologize. So,
Do I need to record on my side?
Oh, I mean,
I was just thinking about that, and I was like, wait, how the hell is George getting my my audio? And I was like, oh shit,
I'm getting your audio. Trust me, I'm getting your audio. But it would be like if you want to record it, you can also record it on your side. So we do have two copies. Plus, if maybe mine might get corrupted, maybe yours is good, or maybe yours is better quality than mine. So. If you want to record as well, that's cool. But I am definitely getting your audio. It's definitely coming in.
Okay. Cool. I clicked the record button 8 seconds ago.
Oh, so that's fine.
We good. Beautiful.
Sorry about that. The postman just came.
What did he bring?
Oh my God. Are we going to get into this? I don't know if I want to even talk about this on the air. It's a bit of a geek moment if this is what I think it is. Wait, let me open it. Well, okay. All right. If we're going to get into it, I'm going to have a geek moment here. This is not what I was going to talk about. But recently, there's been a new wave. You know how recently, especially with Pokemon cards, they've just been blowing up? Like, Pokemon, like the OG Pokemon cards are selling for like thousands, I think even hundreds of thousands of dollars, like stuff like that. So, it is what I thought it is. So a new, like a year ago in Japan, a new trading card game was released, and it's a Digimon trading card. And I've just recently gotten into it, so I thought I might as well. This is what I was talking about. I just don't give a fuck anymore. I'm like, you know what? I have money. It's not expensive, and it's like a nice new hobby to pick up. Let me see if I can get into it. Plus, it'll be a good idea to see if I can learn Japanese and speak Japanese, find guys to play with. And so yeah, these are actually the new Digimon trading card deck that I just bought and it's in my hand right now. That's what that was that just came in the mail right now.
Yes. Yes, yes.
More geek moment.
That is it, man. Life is too short to be caught up in the judgments and the expectations of those around us. It's just like, at some point it has to be fuck it. It really has to be fuck it. This is me. Because you ain't, nobody's dying with you.
It's so true.
Nobody's going out with you, you know. They didn't come through the same womb that you, I mean, your siblings did, but again, at a different time. Even if you're identical twins, one of you came out first, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Yeah, like, that's how it is.
That's true. And I was going to ask you as well, seeing as you were saying how, like we're saying, we're getting to that age where we are at the age where we don't give fucks anymore. I mean, no, we're not like those grandpas with the sagging balls and going out in the leggings and stuff. But how do people in Germany treat you? Like, what is the difference between being in London and then being where you are in Germany? Like, is there even any difference, or is it a bit like, is it strange that they look at you? I don't know. What's the experience like, seeing that you've been there for quite a while now?
So in my earlier years here, there was a certain degree of people, they would look at me a certain way. As, you know, the typical way that you may look at someone that you don't see.
Yeah, it's just new.
Often.
Yeah.
Right. Because not only, like, there are dark-skinned people here. I'm not the only black dude on the streets.
Of course.
But not many of them look like me, walk like me, and talk like me.
Yeah, because you're not, like, German-grown, yeah.
Right. And nor am I American.
Yeah.
So they used to have a certain archetype of quote-unquote black guys. So they know that there are black people that grew up there, and they know that there are these Americans. They call them Amis, right?
Amis?
Yeah.
Oh.
Indeed. And a lot of the time they have history, like military-based history, right? They come from military families.
It's always that, isn't it?
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure it's similar where you are as well.
Yeah. A lot of military bases here, American, yeah.
Right. And then on top of that, I also played American football. So they're like, this guy, he must be American. So when I came out in that British accent, and here's the thing, because even my accent is not entirely British.
Same.
It's influenced by, right, exactly. It's influenced by, first of all, my family, right? My Caribbean family. It's influenced by the media that I consume.
Yep.
And it was influenced by the other Americans that I hung around. Yep, so it's kind of a mix up. It's like, where the fuck is this guy even from? You know? So I was kind of a unicorn on these streets. And
the unicorn.
It was very uncomfortable at first.
Yeah,
because I wasn't used to that attention. I wasn't used to carrying all of that energy, all of that weight.
Mm.
And when people looked at me, I suffered with like anxiety underneath the surface, right? So when people would look at me, I would just be like, oh shit, like all my self-conscious tendencies would kick in.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it was a struggle at first. And then I kind of realized, all right, this isn't about to change. Yeah. This isn't about to change. So
it's gonna keep happening.
I can change is me. I can change how I respond to this. So then what I started to realize is that most people don't look at me from a place of obvious like hatred or bigotry.
Mm.
More often than not, it's curiosity.
Mm.
Curiosity, right? So even some of the kids that I would teach in the school, they would say some shit like, can I touch your hair? They come up to me and say, can I touch your hair? I would say, if you want some broken fingers, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I love that response. If you want some broken fingers, yeah. Go ahead, man. You're free to do it. Live with the consequences.
That's it. I'll keep it 100 with them, though. Like, and that was what it all came down to. It was me, at the end of the day, just keeping it 100 with myself, with everyone around me, because that's my personality. Obviously, I'm not going to, you know, take a 12-year-old and break his fingers. But it's funny. It's funny to him because that's my humor.
But that would be, you know, so that's funny my humor. If you did that. Oh, jeez.
I have a lot to explain to his mother. I'd be like, what happened? I'd be like, I warned him.
Do you see this? Do you see this on top of my head? Do you think this just happens? Like, this is artwork here. You can't just be messing with this. He was warned.
Man. But that's really what it came down to, just owning who it is that I am. And I began to walk the streets differently. Hmm. You know, I started to walk the streets as though I've been here my whole life. And I've been here your whole life and your granddaddy's whole life. I started to walk these streets like these are my streets.
Yeah, that's a nice confidence to have. How long have you been there completely, by the way? Like to this point?
It's been... up to which point?
This point now.
Up until right now?
Yeah.
So it's been... Where are we? We're in May? May coming up June.
2021, yeah.
So it's been 6.5 years.
Yeah, I've been there. And so how long did it take for you to get to the point where you were like, you know what, instead of constantly stressing about these people looking at me, let me just walk these streets like I'm supposed to be here. Let me just be confident. How long did it take you to get to that point?
So it was November 2014 when I got here.
Yeah.
And I would say by the end of 2016, by summer 2015, yeah, I was pretty fluent in the language. That was a confidence booster.
Jeez, you were just going at it. Oh, to be honest, though, German is very close to English anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's they have quite a few shared similarities,
yeah,
and they are from the same Germanic roots.
Yeah. But anyway, continue. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And the thing with that was, because I was still paranoid and anxious at that point, one of my biggest motivators was, I don't want people to be able to talk shit about me and I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah. I get you.
That was a huge motivator for me. And so I had to kind of transcend that and heal that, because it works, but it's not sustainable. Like, you can't live in that paranoid state if you want to be healthy.
Yes.
You know?
No, but I do understand.
So I had to transcend that.
Because, the thing that a lot of people don't understand, especially people that don't travel, when you move to another country and you don't know the language that well, you do get that paranoia, because people are going to look, people are going to stare because you're not from there and it's pretty obvious. But it's the fact that you don't know what they're saying or what energy they're trying to come at you with. It's like, it does get to you. And it's like, what are you saying? Is it something? Are you just cracking a joke? Is it lighthearted? Or are you actually being like an asshole right now? Like, do I need to respond in a certain way? And that's the thing, right? But when you do get a hang of the language, even just a little bit, it does give you that confidence boost, because then you can tune in and be like, oh, I know what you just said right there. Okay, that's cool. So I do understand that. So it took, so a year for you to get a bit of a hang of the language, and then another year for you to feel like, I can walk these streets confidently now.
Yeah. So by the end of 2016, because what happened was, I was working in a job, a teaching job right there, with a woman who had set up a new school.
Right.
And I was her first hire. So she brought me in. I came on recommendation from someone else. They were like, yeah, you know, this is the guy that you want to take with you if you're starting something new. Okay. Yeah, he's got everything you need. Just take it, run with it. So we met up a few times. I helped her build the whole project and bring it together. And then it turned out that there was a miscommunication, not between us, but between her and her clientele. Right. And so it ended up that I was getting paid to do not a lot of work. And she didn't like that.
Oh, okay.
She didn't like that. Right. Me being the problem solving type that I was, I said, it's all good. Put me in here. Let me do this. Let me do that. You can find a way through this. Cause I wasn't trying to say, here you go, take the money. I was like, you're paying me already. Just let me do something for this money.
Of course.
But yeah, in her mind, she was like, nah, I need to cut his pay.
Whoa. And no.
She gave me papers, right? She gave me a bunch of papers to sign.
No.
And I said to her, I'm not signing these. I'm not signing these forms. You know, and she was like, yeah, but why? And I told her, there's no need. Let's just make a way from what we have now. There's no need to go back, you know? And long story short, she then came to my house and dropped something in my letterbox. Papers basically telling me that she fired me. Just like
what?
That. Right. No notice, no nothing.
What?
And I was like, this is hilarious, mate.
Wait, this is a German woman, yeah?
Yeah. And the reason I say she came to my house, I didn't see her there, but on the letter that was in the letterbox, there was no stamp, no nothing. So she
came to my house, all the way
found my letterbox. Right.
She delivered it herself.
Yes.
Oh, what a scummy thing to do, dude. She can't even talk to your face. She came to your house and dropped it through your door.
Yeah.
And then you are fired.
Yeah. Just like that. And see, the thing is, this is where the German law can help you out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because employers are not allowed to do that without repercussions.
Any employers anywhere, unless you're in a dictatorship, is allowed to do that kind of stuff.
Indeed. But most people can find some kind of slick way to like find a loophole.
Mm.
She just didn't even bother with that. She just said, "Hey, I'm firing you." And I was like, "Well, I've got a contract until this date." So basically, yeah, long story short, we took it to court and she had to pay me all of that extra money.
Damn.
And
then some.
So, yeah.
Damn.
And that was a whole process. And I was like, shit. And I'd noticed that. So that was one particular circumstance, but I'd noticed a certain pattern in people here. And I don't want to generalize because it's not everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's a certain pattern of behavior, right?
Towards us, towards you. There's a certain pattern of
behavior. And it's not even towards me, but it's... this is general. Indeed. Okay. It's a general pattern of behavior. And at this time, I'd read a book called The Four Agreements. And one of the agreements in there is don't take anything personally.
Yeah.
And that was when I really understood. I was like, so basically the average person here, when given those initial papers that said, here, take this pay cut, they would have signed them. The average person would have signed those papers. I was the person that said no.
Nah, forget that.
I was the person that stood up. And they are not used to people who stand up in that sense. You understand? So that's where that conflict came to be. And I sort of realized, okay, I'm here for a bigger purpose. Because I noticed that people around me, they would be very, for lack of a better word, impressed by the fact that I had the ability to say no.
And just be like, you're paying me this amount. Just give me the work to, you know, pay. If you're paying me this amount, just give me the work to, what's the word I'm looking for? Give me the work to, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a certain word. I can't find it.
To... compensate, that's like, validate.
Yeah, that's equivalent to the amount I'm being paid. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I mean, it makes sense. But, it makes sense. Like, if you pay me this much and you think it's too much, then give me the work equivalent to what you're paying me, and then everything's good. And then you get more work done, and I get paid the same amount I've been being paid. Like, makes sense to me.
I told her I'll run front desk. I'll run marketing. You know, whatever we need to do to make this happen, like. I invited her to be smart, and the thing is, her background was in.
I invited her to be smart.
Yeah, it was an invitation.
Would you like to sit down on the table of intelligence? Would you like that, ma'am? No. Okay.
That's exactly how I feel. It was an invitation. It was an invitation.
That is beautiful. You know? That's a snippet right there.
Oh. And like her background was in fashion. Like, she came from the fashion world.
Okay.
So I don't know how you go from fashion to English teaching. Like, but I guess she heard that there's mad paper because there's a market. Especially here, there is a market. If you own your own school, your own franchise, you can make some good ass money.
Flipping out.
Definitely.
Flipping out.
And in this city, people pay money. Yo. So I live in an area, right? I live in an area. It's called Pimpleford.
Okay.
And just across the road, there are people who casually pay like 3,000 euros. What's that? Just under 3,000 pounds, right? For a month's rent.
What?
In these. Yeah, man.
What?
Just casually.
Wait, how big are these? Is it a house, an apartment?
It's not. These are apartments. They call them luxury apartments. How big are they? So most of them have like, two bedrooms, 2 to 3 bedrooms. They're not even that big.
2 to 3 bedrooms.
But because of the location, right? Because of the location.
Where was the location then?
This is a high prestige area.
Okay.
And it's close to the city.
Okay.
You know, and this is like, Düsseldorf is the fashion capital. You know, so you got a bunch of stars that come through here. They record a lot of shows here.
That just reminds me of Phineas and Ferb. Düsseldorf, Evil Incorporated.
My son be watching that. My son be watching that.
It's a good show, man. It's a good show.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But man. Yeah, so they're paying 3,000 euros every month just to stay in these apartments.
Yeah, some of these apartments, so yeah. And Mario Götze, the German national football player,
what?
I'm not sure if he's still there, but he lived there as well in the penthouse. So he was up in the penthouse, right?
Okay, but he's a footballer, so he must be balling in the
exactly.
cash.
Yeah. Exactly. So these are the kind of incomes, yeah, that exist around this area.
Jeez.
They have a whole village around the back. They have a gated community.
Jeez.
Right? So I'm talking these people are people that are coming from generational wealth.
From
like their grandfather owns this, that, or the other.
Okay. Oh,
and they just got that, and right now they're doing something that's bringing in cash. So they just be splashing money for fun, for fun. And obviously they want their kids to be able to speak good English. So they say, "Oh
you smart little guy, you smart little. That's so smart. That's so smart to go to an area where you know that they are from very." Well-respected families with quite a bit of dosh. And plus, because you have that mentality that, oh, we're so prestige, of course you want to act it. So of course you want your kids to learn the creme de la creme. So of course, someone who's a native English speaker, I'm guessing that's where the money comes in, right?
Exactly.
Right,
They love natives.
Mm.
Yeah, man.
That's just business sense. That's just business sense, dude.
Man. That's what it is. But I haven't personally tapped into that market because I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with them.
That's why I always went that you're hustling and then you're like, nah, I'm not going to tap into it.
Nah. That's why I always went through someone. And that's why it's useful to have a German who is interacting with other Germans in that regard, because I could interact with them. But the way that some parents are, and I've just known this from being part of schools, from being part of sports teams, the parents can be unbearable. And I'm not willing to deal with that for any amount of money. For any amount of money.
Okay.
You know, I'd rather just deal with the kids. I say, all right, you know, here's my child. Teach them. Like, show them what you know. And because my approach is different as well. I'm not let me put it this way. The type of teacher that I am, I'm more of a trainer. So I show up and I say, what do you have right now? You know, what are you capable of? And then we just go from there.
Okay.
Go from that place.
Okay. And it's a university as well. So these kids are not kids. They're pretty much young adults. They're pretty grown.
So, yeah. So that's something else that I've been doing as well. Teaching at the university, which is its own interest, its own fun. Most definitely.
That's
cool. I just come with my own style, my own flavor. And that's been my quote unquote secret to everything. I walk down the street with my own flavor. I teach with my own flavor. I communicate with my own flavor. Everything I do is just, it's me. It's just me.
Okay. That's completely different. Well, not completely different from where I'm coming from, because in Japan, I've only been here, I've been here for 4 years. This is my fifth year now.
Mm.
And it's like coming to Japan. I don't know about you going to Germany, but coming to Japan, I had, what's it called? You know that honeymoon period when the first year, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a different country. Oh my gosh, everything's so cool and amazing. Oh my gosh.
It was like a holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, I want to go and do everything everywhere. And then the second year, you're maybe still kind of in that honeymoon period. And then at the end of the second year, and then the third year begins, you're like, oh, I see the true face. I see the true face of what's going on. And you see a lot of lies. Because, for example, when I first came here, you know, you try to be active, you try to talk to people, make friends. And then you're like, oh, these people are so... It's like you go over to say hello to them and they're so squirmish. They're like little they're like little animals. They just screamish. They go, oh, Bukurishita. Bukurishita is pretty much, oh, I'm so shocked. I'm so surprised. Every time they see me, like they'll turn around, literally, they'll be walking, they'll turn around and see me and literally jump and go, oh, Bukurishita. And it's like, Well, I'm just walking past you. I'm not doing anything. I'm not even looking at them, not saying anything, but I can see and hear their reaction. And I'm like, what is going on? And the explanation is, oh, Japanese people are so shy. They're so inward, you know, they're not used to it. And then you get to a point where it's like, but if it's the same people that see you every day and you're still getting this kind of reaction, it's like, shy? Really? And like with you, you do get that thing where people stare at you a lot. Like Germany is at least in Europe, and at least you are surrounded by a mishmash of countries that are all pretty much similar in terms of languages. They all kind of have a shared history. But in Japan, it is like, what is it? As of last year, there's only 2.25% of foreigners in this country, and the rest are just Japanese. So it seems like even though I'm in the capital city of Tokyo, I still get stares from people like they've never seen anyone that's not been Japanese before in their entire life. You get people, especially old people, that just stare at you like, what? Yeah. And it's like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, you know, can you just chill? Just chill, man. I'm not an alien. Just chill out. And with the language thing, the language is insane. It is absolutely insane. I don't know. Like, you're lucky because you get to learn German, but to learn Japanese, because in my school, it's like I go to school, I'm not allowed to speak Japanese. I have to only speak English because I'm the English teacher. And when you do that for a long time, you realize that you don't actually get to speak or practice your Japanese. So you don't actually grow in it. Like right now, I have to force myself to go to a language school, because if not, I do not get to practice my Japanese because I'm constantly speaking English every single day. And it does get to a point where people don't get that in this country because they have such a, what's it called? Removed thinking from the rest of the world. And it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. But I like it here for some strange reason. Yeah. I like it here. So it's just all about, let me just learn this language fully, because I understand a little bit of it. Speaking is more difficult, but I'm learning. And yeah, I'll get there eventually.
But hey, I don't know. Sure, man.
I don't know.
One thing that you said then, you said that, you know, you're not an alien, but the thing is you are. Like, you might as well be. You might as well be an alien. And that's the reality of it. And what I found, especially when people would stare at me, is I said, okay, what would happen if I stared at them?
I wanted to do
so
that.
So I did that. I stopped on this. I was walking past the bus stop one day, and I was like, I could feel someone's eyes burning in the back of my eye. And I said, I'm tired of this shit. I stopped what I was doing, and I looked at this woman, and it was her and her child, her teenage going on adult child. And I stopped in the middle of the road and just stood there and looked at them. And it was so satisfying because everything that they'd been projecting onto me, I was able to just stand there and reflect it back to them. And I waved. I stood there, I stared at them, and I waved. And I stood there for about 2 minutes. And then they started to really think, okay, what's going on here? They weren't ready for that. And what that gave me, what that brought to me was, in that moment, I'd taken myself from a statue, you know, from something to see, something to look at, because that's how I felt. So I'd taken my power back, and I shifted from that to, I am a person.
Yeah.
That's why I can stand here and look at you as well.
Yeah.
That's and then all of a sudden, it brings up feelings in them that they now have to deal with.
Dude, I'm glad you said that, because that just reminds me of a story I heard. And so I'm going to teach you a word which I wish didn't exist, but there's a word called in Japanese called chikan. And chikan is basically when guys on public trains or public buses, of course, sexually harass women. And there was a story I heard of this foreigner. She was on the train and she apparently was on the train and she felt someone just touch her from behind. And she was, you know, that thing, you know, the train is moving, you think someone just bumped into you, but you can obviously tell that the touching persisted and it was, it just felt like it was like an open hand. She's like, what the fuck? So she just got it upon herself to just completely turn around, look this person in the eye and just grab his crotch. And she smiled at him. Shit. And then, yeah. And he was apparently so taken aback that he was just like, whoa, jumped away from her. And then the next stop, he just left the train and just ran out. And then just doing that, she was like, yeah, how the fuck does it feel like when someone randomly comes and just touches you in a place like he, like. And like you said, it's just about taking the power and putting it into your own hands. And people are not ready for that because they think they can get away with just staring at you like you're some kind of you know, some kind of zoo animal, just touching you like you're some kind of piece of meat. And yeah, sorry to bring that up, but that's another big issue in Japan that I realized I didn't know it was a big issue until I came here, but it's a big issue in this country about people being so repressed or trains being so crowded or yeah, I think that's just what happens. I don't know.
It seems like those are the effects of the conditions, man.
Yeah.
So from the emotional conditions to the, you know, like you said, the packed trains, which provides that level of opportunity for people who need to act these, and I'm going to call them sicknesses because that's what I feel like they are. I feel like these are sicknesses that are people having to act out. And at the same time, again, like we were speaking about, it's a balancing act of taking care of yourself and at the same time not getting so caught up in it and taking it super personally, because those people are acting from their place of sickness. Just like, you know, we're not perfect, we have done shit from our place of sickness
as well,
you know. And it's just somebody has to be the person to hold up that mirror and say, this is what you are doing. How do you feel about that? You know, so whether that is staring at someone, whether that is grabbing a man's crutch, if he's fucking around, you know, it just, it shocks them because they're like, oh shit, I've been caught. I've been seen, you know?
So that's what you were doing whilst you were in Germany. Like you've just been, when people stare at you. Not grabbing man's crutch. I mean, if you could grab man's crutch if you want to, but I'm not like that. But as in, because I don't know, because with me being here, I feel like, how do I put this? Look, Japanese people, like I think people in general around the world, like I think people are inherently nice. I genuinely do believe that. I believe that people learn to be assholes. I don't think people are born an asshole. You are taught to be an asshole because other people are assholes to you. And then you're like, you know what? Fuck you. I'll be an asshole to you. You see someone do some bad shit, they get away with it. You're like, okay, they got away with it. Let me do some bad shit too. And that's how you learn to be an asshole. But I think generally people are nice. Like, because when I go to school, some of these kids, they see some shit that they're not supposed to say. And I think they know they're not supposed to say it. And so if me as an educator doesn't tell them not to do that, then they're going to think that, okay, they can get away with it. Like, for example, I don't know how these teachers work. I was in a classroom and with the English teachers, they're Japanese. And let's say the boys are acting up. Someone, you know, they're faffing about. And then one of them literally just shouts, fuck, fuck you, fucking shit. Fuck. And I'm just like, whoa, dude, I know you're playing, but that's like, calm down. But the teacher hears this and doesn't say anything. And I realize that the kids can swear in English and it's fine. The teacher will never say anything. But I'm like, but you're an English teacher, so you know that what they're saying is bad. They're saying some bad stuff. They'll say some other bad stuff as well. But because it's in English, the teacher won't say anything. So I'm like, am I supposed to be the disciplinary person here? Like, you're what? And I realized this is kind of how it's like in this country. They don't like confrontation. They really don't like confrontation. Some of the guys do it though. The males do it sometimes, but that's only if, I don't know, that's only if, I've realized that the guys will only do confrontation, like the male teachers, only if like they're talking and someone interrupts them, and then they feel like, oh my god, how dare you speak over me, and then they'll confront you. But if it's something else, then they won't do any shit. So I missed my point now. So I was rambling and I didn't even realize my point. I just went on a ramble.
I want to touch on that though.
But go on.
I want to touch on that. So I like to approach it from a different angle. And the way I look at it is, I encourage swearing in my classrooms, in my home. I encourage swearing.
Of course, you even in your home with your kids.
Yeah, my children, I allow them to swear. And the reason for that is there's something behind it. It's like, why are you swearing? So that the example that you gave with the boy in the classroom,
yeah,
is what is, because yeah, they might have learned the word from me, but there's something behind it. So either they are seeing it and repeating it because they're curious. They're like, what is this word that's it?
Yeah.
They're like, what is that word?
Yeah.
Or, but at the same time, I've given them a word to express certain feelings.
Oh, because no,
I think
the first
time they heard me swear was when I think I hurt my toe, like I stubbed my toe. And I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
And they were like, they find it funny. They always find it funny. It's, they don't ask me, what does that mean? They go, fuck.
Do you know why? Do you know why? It is, it's like you just said, it's an expression. And it's because it's such, like, I don't know if you know this, but I'm no promotion, but there is, I love Nicolas Cage. He's such a crazy guy. And there's a show on Netflix literally called The History of Swear Words or something like that.
Mm.
And it's just, fuck is just such a easy, quick, it just has such an impact. Just fuck. Like when you do something or when you hurt yourself, it's literally a psychologically good way to just express that pain or that emotion in that moment in just one big boom. You just get it out. Yeah, but anyway, continue. Yeah. I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, man. So, and when it comes up in classrooms, again, I say, like, what's behind that? Why do you feel the need to say that word? And so what I like to get to is the root. I like to, again, invite people to understand why they are saying these things and why they are feeling a certain way. And that has to be, especially in a repressed society, because this society is repressed to a degree as well, particularly in the men.
Really? The men are more repressed than the women?
There's a crisis of manhood in this country. There is a crisis.
Because technically in Japan, there's also a massive crisis when it comes to being the man of the house, being the head of a family. Mm. That's a big issue over here as well. But what do you mean by manliness crisis over in Germany?
So the first sign that I got of this was in conversations with German women.
Oh my gosh.
The sign that I would get from them is they would say, oh yeah, I like, Turkish guys, or I like black dudes, or, you know, this and that.
Because they seem like more butch.
Why? What's about that? They're like, yeah, they're like, they're more manly. They come across as more manly to me, more masculine, you know? And that's not always in the most healthy of senses.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
The theme that I picked up was that many German men struggle to express themselves. They struggle to go for what they really want. They struggle to, you know, to just to be honest.
To be honest, open
they
up.
Really,
and just...
They really struggle with that.
Why? Why you is know? That? Is it? What do you mean by expressing? What do you mean? Like, okay, how do you mean express yourself? You mean they don't want to, like, if they want to go talk to a girl, they won't talk, or is it that, oh, I wanna go have a drink right now. Let me go have a drink. What do you mean express themselves? In what
that's,
kind of
that,
way?
So that's part of it. That's a part of it. So for example, you will rarely see a guy approaching a woman in the street.
That's the same in Japan.
Just to have that conversation, you know, it's like, it's rare. But obviously when you see there's a road not too far from here, which is full up of Afro-Caribbean and Indian shops.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of melanated people down there, and the vibe is different. Like, people talk to each other. People are social in a different way.
Yeah, I get you.
You know?
Because that's just how we are, man. We know how to flip and socialize.
Right. It's just a closer part of our culture.
Yeah.
And again, this is what I'm going to relate this back to the Second World War now, right?
Yeah. Here we go. Let's go. Let's do it.
There is a narrative that there's a bad guy called Adolf Hitler and he killed millions of people.
Yeah.
He killed millions of people because he was a jealous asshole. That's the narrative. He was a jealous asshole. Right, that is it. So the conditioning in this society is to be nice. Just be nice. Don't be an asshole. Just be nice.
Oh.
So everyone is growing up with that. Be nice. Just be nice. Right?
Mm.
And the thing is when you are nice, there's a lot of that you're suppressing.
Yeah, yeah. About because yourself. You're constantly trying to make everyone happy and not yourself happy, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't want to express certain feelings because they may come across as uncomfortable for people.
Dude, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, that is so bloody similar to what's happening in Japan. That's literally almost a mirror copy what you're saying right now. But continue, yeah.
100%. And so there are times, right? And this is going into something that we're going to get into in another conversation.
Yeah.
But there are times that a woman, first of all, she wants to feel safe.
Yeah.
All right. I'm generalizing, you know, broadly, but generally speaking, women want and need to feel safe, especially in the company of a man.
Yeah, that makes sense because she wants to know that if we're going to have some babies, I need to know if I'm here with this thing in my belly and I can't do shit, I need to know that you can pick up the slack of two people because I might not be able to do some shit. You need to be able to do some shit. Need to be able to do two people's shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Currently, that safety, that security takes the form of money. So because a lot of these German guys are making big money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then their women feel secure in that sense.
Yeah.
However, when a genuine threat comes to the table, they realize that, oh, there's something lacking here. There's something more that I need. And that more is that honesty and that raw masculinity. So that is the thing that says, I need to feel safe with you. And from time to time, I want you to just bend me over the couch and take me.
So that is because what you're talking about. Okay.
And that's a part. And it's not just about the sex, but it's about what they represent.
It's just you're talking about that raw testosterone that just what's the word? It's spontaneous. Just be spontaneous. Right. Just
exactly.
Just come out with raw. I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that is the energy behind that is missing in this society.
By the way, our phones are going off. Maybe we should have put them on like airplane mode or something. But anyway, continue. I know what you're saying. I just hear my phone's like, yours is like,
is my shit vibrating as well?
I can hear yours through the mic going, so the listeners are like, these guys' phones are just going off. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Man. I get what you're saying.
That energy is, and that's the same energy that will make it so difficult for a man to say no or say, this is how I feel or this is what I want. You know, and that whole energy is missing you.
I get you because I don't know if it's the same in Germany, but I know in Japan there's a massive aging population. So and it's kind of a problem because I believe it was last year or 2 years ago the amount of old people has now passed the amount of young people. There's more old people in this country than young people. And I know this is slowly happening throughout the world. Like the birth rate is slowly dropping, but it's an issue when you have more old than young people. That's a big issue. Hence why everyone's a bit shook about
That is the case, but there's more nuance to that. And I'm going to pick up on the afterwards.
Okay. But I'm just saying that there's a big issue in a sense of, because It's not just that we have more old people, and because the pension system is just going to break. Everyone knows the pension system is going to break at some point, because there's going to be a point where there's not enough young people to pay into the pension system for all the old people that are just going to retire. It's going to break up. It's going to pop at some point, something like that. But it's not just that. It's the point where, especially in this age in Japan, that's the name. So there's people called Hikikomori, and these are people who don't want to go outside. They do not want to socialize. They don't want to go to school, go to work. They don't want to talk to anyone. They just want to stay at home, read manga, watch anime, play video games. They don't want to look at the outside world. Like, there's actually cases of people that stay in their house for so long that they will literally die in there and be in there for weeks. And wow, the only reason why people will find them is because you can smell their stench through the walls. That's how bad it's gotten. Like, I saw a documentary of people going in and just when they were cleaning stuff up, all you see is the outline of the body on the floor that was rotting away. That's how bad it got. And it was it's kind of a big sad issue that the society or the government or someone is not really doing anything about it. Like, the Japanese people just go, oh, these are lazy people, or they just don't want to work, they're taxing on our society, they're useless people, instead of actually just trying to understand that these people need help. They need your help. They need more help than other people. And it's kind of, I don't know if that's happening in Germany, but that's what's happening in Japan. And yeah, especially with the guys, man. Especially with the guys. Guys are so scared to talk to women that they'd rather talk to these anime girls in these dating games. Like, I shit you know, Aaron, I was coming home, like, from, I forgot where I was coming home from, but I was coming home from Ikebukuro, and on the wall, they have these posters, and I think they were advertising some new anime idol thing. I don't know what it was, but I saw grown ass men stopping and looking at these posters, then taking out their phones and taking pictures of them and searching it up, looking at the QR code, and they're just loving it. And I'm like, what is going on in this country? This is so weird. I mean, I'm not gonna yuck your yum, but that was weird for me. And that's a reason why, you know, one of the reasons why the birth rate is dropping. Plus, women are working more, so they're having families later. Plus, the pressures of society is just, it's crazy. I don't know if that's what's happening in Germany, but that's what's happening over here. I find it nuts.
That is very... So what I see is a similar cause that have different manifestations depending on how the society is set up.
Yeah.
Definitely. What I can see over here is that the younger men, they seem to be moving differently. And interestingly enough, right? So I'm going to weave through a couple of things here.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, the ones who I see moving differently, moving with a certain level of confidence, moving with a certain level of, you know, being able to express, they follow certain hip hop culture. All right, so they're engaged with black people, with melanated people, right? That's what I notice. At the same time, there are some of them, and again, many of them just have a certain block that exists within them that won't allow them to really express. And so from what you described back then, and from what I see here on these streets, is that young men in particular, take an example from the older men, do not know how to express themselves. They are terrified of expressing themselves because that's what they've been taught. They've been taught that expressing yourself is not good. I don't want to hear your feelings. You know, I don't want to know anything that may be considered uncomfortable or negative. I just don't want to hear it. Just be nice and fall in line. That's another thing. Fall in line. Don't be yourself. Don't be unique. Yes, just fall in line.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's so the same. There's a saying in Japan saying the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. So it's flat just like all the other ones. Like, Japanese people literally hate things looking different. If things are the same and look the same, then cool. If, like, you see a crowd and you see one black person in that crowd, they get upset because they're like, fuck, oh, this black person just ruining the scenery. Shit.
Yeah, man. That's mad.
But sorry, you were going through it, but yeah, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, it's the same here.
That's a deep level of mind control.
Yeah, it is a deep level of mind control.
Yeah, man. And it definitely affects the birth rate. 100% affects the birth rate. And here's the thing, because, oh man, so I'm about to weave it into this, right? Because these men are having these problems to express themselves, because they don't know how to tap into that masculinity. What you find is that the women are often more masculine.
Yes, yes.
The women are often more masculine than the men are. And that's not, in my opinion, that's not great for men or women. Because when a woman is so deeply tapped into that masculine energy of, I need to be successful, I need to be, you know, the boss here, I need to be this, that, and the other. Then what happens there is they come away from their natural femininity.
Ooh, we're going into dangerous territory now. Here we go.
Hear what I'm saying. Like, the thing is, yes, a woman can be a boss, but there's a way to move. If women are trying to move like men move and trying jockey for position,
yes,
that's not going to work. Because that's not what women are built for. They don't have
this is unspoken. No. Say your words. I'll say my thing after your thing. You continue. Mm-hmm. Women are not built to do that. Yeah, go on.
That's not what women are built for. You're not meant to try and do man shit better than a man does. Just let men do men shit. Mm. Because women's shit is different. Mm. This is not me saying, oh yeah, women need to be in the house and in the kitchen. Nah, it's not about that. Mm. It's just about a certain approach. And so if you're, for example, in a corporate environment and as a woman, and all you're thinking about is, oh man, all these men are getting all these CEO, C officer, I don't even know what they call them.
CEOs,
those high positions, right?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so all of those Cs, right? they're going after them. Yeah, and trying to compete with men and say, okay, I have to work twice as hard to be considered for what a man would get easily. There must be a point where the woman just says, fuck it, it's not worth it. We can create some better shit for ourselves that is more natural to us. Because the way I see it, the way this society has been built up, it's a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship
Yes, we are living, the way we are living under society is a sinking ship. I do agree with you.
It's a sinking ship. Yes. Definitely.
It's slowly like the Titanic sinking into the ocean of the abyss. Yeah.
100%. And what happens when a woman is so tapped into that masculine way of doing things, her body chemistry changes and it makes it more difficult to conceive a child. Why do you think there are so many of these women in their, you know, even late 20s now, but definitely 30s and 40s, and they got to go through all of these treatments and IVF and, you know, hormone just to try and have a chance at getting pregnant? Whereas in other cultures, they can't stop getting pregnant, you know? So when they talk about the birth rate falling, they're talking about a certain type of person. They're not talking about everyone.
Yeah, I know this.
They're talking about the people that are bought into this way of doing things and bought into this. And yeah, it's not gender. It's not saying women. If you want to be a woman and fucking be a builder, you can do that. You can do that. But be a builder with that feminine energy. You know, I even want to say that it's just be natural to yourself. Don't try to compete.
I get you.
Men.
Okay, so
it's the same way. It doesn't make sense for men to try and compete with women at doing woman shit.
Yes. Okay.
You know.
So
yeah.
So I do agree with some of what you're saying. I just have to make it clear that we are not saying, because I know for a fact someone's gonna say, you are being so misogynistic right now, you are being such a man that blah, blah, blah. But it's like what we are saying is women, I've always known for a long time, women are the undercover rulers of this planet. It's just a fact. Women rule what we do in everyday life. Everything that we do is mostly for the attention or the approval of a woman. And that's, other women do the same shit as well. Other women want other women, them to look at them and say, I'm so pretty, right? I'm so amazing, right? And they want men to go, I want you, I want your pussy, I want everything, right? Everything we do is for the gratification of another woman in some way, shape or form. Even if it's only our own mothers. So it's what we're saying, or what you're trying to say, is that when it's this strange feminist thing where feminism isn't like, if you're a woman, stop trying, like, feminism is not, hey, men are doing this, why can't we do that too? It's not like we're saying that you cannot do the same shit men do. We're just saying stop trying to do it in the way men do it, because you're not a man. Do it in the way you do it, because you're a woman, kind of thing. Is that what you're trying to say?
That is it. So what I'm saying is women have been so far distracted from their natural beauty, from their natural way of doing things.
Yes, I get
it.
Okay.
We live in a world that is focused on the masculine way of doing things. Yes, so we don't for the most part, we don't even know what it looks like.
I get you. Because we've been living in a world that's literally been run by men for so long that I'm guessing that women are brought up thinking that we should also run it like that. But you're like, no,
right?
You do it in the way that you would do it. Don't do it in the way that men have done it, because men have fucked shit up for fucking millennia. Maybe we should do it a woman way, you know? Maybe we should let more women be in the houses of parliament and government and shit. Maybe let's try that out for a few centuries.
I would fuck the houses of parliament. I would just say, what? Come up with something new.
That's true. Yeah, come up with something new. Come up with, like, where does Wonder Woman come from? Her island. Do it their way. Well, I get what you're saying. So you're not saying that women shouldn't do the stuff that men do, because to be honest, some of the stuff women can do better than men anyway. We're saying that stop trying so hard to do it the way a man does it, because even the way they dress, like, I don't like it when women wear, what's it, you know, the office, like the suit and tie with the blazer. I'm like, you can wear something. I mean, you can wear whatever the fuck you want. Don't get me wrong.
Well, some women rock that.
Dude, rock that. No.
Dope. They rock it. No, I'm saying.
Listen, he didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about the ones where women literally try to dress in the same kind of blazers and trousers. I'm saying there are women versions that look even way better, because women have the cut that make it look so dope. Like, I was about to say that. Like, there's this thing where students, when they leave university in Japan, I think it's around the beginning of spring, all of them go out to, like, job hunt, and they're all wearing the black blazer, white shirt, black trousers, right? All of them. And some of the girls, I mean, I know they're 21, 22, but some of them look so good in that suit, because it's cut so right. I'm like, you girl, you go girl, you get your thing. I'm saying, don't dress in the man way. Don't use the man blazers, do the women ones, because they look good. I just don't like it when women try and dress like a dude. You know, do you get what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, don't wear the man version. Don't wear the man clothes version, because that's shit.
But again, if it, because they might be on the vibe where that suits them, and I'm like, I'm down for that too. You know.
Yeah, I'm just.
I just want to get at the point that, like, I don't want anybody, man, woman, anything in between, or what, you know, I don't know how wide this gender spectrum goes today.
It's
wherever
massive.
Anybody falls,
it is all the colors of the rainbow. Literally, it's all the, it's, as Dave Chappelle said, it's the alphabet, people, man. They claim the whole alphabet, man. It's big.
That is it.
It is big,
man.
And all the power.
My thing is just, yeah, straight up. My power. My thing is just for everyone to be who the fuck you are.
You are.
Be who the fuck you are.
Stop trying to
forget,
be like,
what everyone else is doing. Yes. Forget what you think success looks like. Because we already know what success is to us. We all already know. It's just that we get so distracted by all of these other images of success that we lose touch with what we really want.
Yeah. So it's a thing where it's like, because I just want to get people again, we're not misogynistic. We love women. We want women to succeed. We want women. It's a thing where I was thinking about this the other day. I've been thinking about this a lot. That women hold a certain power. They've always held a certain power. But what has... Okay, wait. Let me just start from the beginning. This is going to sound very strange, but I've thought about this a lot as to why society is the way it is now. So I tried to think about it logically, and I went back to the beginning. In the beginning, when we were just, you know, monkeys and apes in the trees, I'm guessing it was just a thing where your pack, a group of animals, right? So everyone pull your share. If you're the strongest, you're at the top. If you're the weakest, you're at the bottom. There was no, you can't do this because you are male. You can't do this because you are a woman. It was just a pecking order, right? Then we evolved into the caveman. And it was the same thing. Everyone, like, you have a certain amount of people in the cave. We need food. Everyone go out, hunt, get that food. Man, woman, go out there. But of course, as we started to gain more intelligence, it started to, of course, make sense that, wait a minute, we can't just keep bringing women on these hunting trips. Because one, if we lose women, then our populations would dwindle a whole lot more quickly. Two, what if she's pregnant? She might lose a child. And three, if we lose her and we do have a child back, then it will be harder to keep that child alive, especially if the child is young, because how is the child going to feed? So it made sense that, okay, men, you go and hunt, and women, you stay and hold the fort. Hence why, by the way, women became the undercover rulers, because when you leave women alone in the village, they own that fucking village, okay? That's their kingdom. The man, to be honest, it just became a thing where the man actually started to work for the woman, because she gets to chill in the village, keep holding that shit down, where he's the one going out getting the goddamn food, and she has to just wait for the food to come already prepared. So that's how it became a thing. It became a thing where we used to be equal, everyone goes out and hunt, everyone goes out, and then it became a thing where we got more intelligence and realized, you know what, women, you take care of the kid, you stay here, I'm going to protect you, let me go and hunt as the man. But then what happened? I don't know, I think maybe religion came in or whatever, but it became a thing where instead of saying, giving the woman a choice if she wants to stay in the village or not, I mean, women can still go and hunt if they want to, but it became a thing where it's like women have to by force stay in the village. You have to by force just stay in the kitchen. And men have to only go out and hunt. And men only have to do this. And it became, I think, in a sense, that's what's fucked up our society for so long. This thing where women, like, think about it like this, right? If you as a guy is constantly going out, that means you're constantly going on adventures, right? Because you have to search for the food, you have to go hunting. So of course, if you're always going out, you know the lay of the land, you know how to hunt, you know how these beasts work, you know how the sky works because you followed the star to get to that spot. You then fought another tribe, so then you know, okay, that's what that tribe looks like, that's the language they speak. Maybe even bartered with them, maybe you talk with them and brokered a deal. So of course the men slowly started to gain more understanding of the world, more knowledge, more power, whilst the women only stayed at home. So that's all they knew in the village. So you can see how the power imbalance happened and how men held more power than women and used that to oppress women. And that's basically what's happened today, when, or a few years ago, when women are like, fuck that shit, we need to vote, we need to work, we need to do shit. That's my theory. I'm gonna stop talking now.
scene. Yeah, mine is, I'm not sure if I have a theory, but what I do, first of all, I don't subscribe to Western history anymore. I don't subscribe to the Western narrative of history, because I'm a firm believer that if something is one way, then everything that's connected to that is affected as well. So if we live in such a damaged, fragmented, and toxic society, that must mean that everything is damaged, fragmented, and toxic, from our schools and our education, you know, what they put into our minds, everything. So as far as is history, I don't even subscribe to even their theory of evolution anymore. I don't know how these things came about, but I am struggling to find an intuitive link between, okay, yeah, that somehow I came from monkeys, from apes, and then there was something that just evolved me into a human. There must be a lot more to that story. And I think the secret to that probably lies in Hollywood movies. So I'm going to be tuning into a few movies and seeing what secrets they dropped in there. Because I think there's more truth in the movies than we've learned to accept. But again, that's one for another day. But what I wanted to touch on is...
Wait,
Okay.
Okay, you're gonna have to write that down. We're gonna have to come back to that Hollywood movie stuff, man. All right.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah, man. We're gonna have to come back to that. Okay.
By the way, so the way I see it, this, how this came to be, I believe that there was a time when women were on top, and not necessarily in a dominant sense of women on top and men underneath and like a hierarchical structure, but more to the sense that women were in their own element, right? So they weren't suppressing their femininity and trying to be more masculine and beat the men. The way I see this, the way I feel this, is that property came in to play, right? So there was a time where this thing called money was invented, and all of a sudden people decided you can own land, you can own property, right?
Okay, yeah, and I'm with you, okay.
The thing about property is that you can't take it with you when you die. You can't take land or money with you when you die. That's it. However, you can keep it in your family. You can keep it in your family through inheritance. And inheritance is the only way that you can pass that along to someone who is your blood, of your bloodline, right? So, before marriage, if a man had a child with a woman, maybe it's his child, but it could also be the other guy that she slept with, right? Could also be her, also be his child. And especially if we're coming from this tribal, this village type structure, right? When there are multiple men around at easy access, who's to say who is the biological father of that child? So when you bring property into the equation, a man or a group of men probably decided we need to come up with a way to be sure that this is your child. So they took these women, or they came to them, these women that were living freely, right? Sharing between each other. And we've read a lot of stories about villages and about tribes being polyamorous in nature,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so having
yes.
more than one partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone was sleeping with everyone. Yeah, especially the Vikings, man. They'd be fucking each other, yeah.
Hey. And I was reading that some of our ancestors, they didn't even have a word, like a specific word for dad, for father. It's just that they called all of the men uncle. Oh. And that's something that persists till today. So in certain cultures, we still call all of the men that are around, you call them uncle.
Definitely in Africa. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because there wasn't always a specific biological father to point to. It was just that all of these men were going to take care of the child to some degree, right? So when they bought in marriage and property, they said, all right, we need a way to ensure that I'm giving this to my child, and not only to my child, but to my son, right? So they came to these women that were living free and they said, hey, so I've got a proposition. I can give you this house. I can give you this house and you can do all the stuff inside it, right? And you're going to be safe. You're going to be secure. Ain't no one else really going to be able to fuck with you and then beat you up and, you know, any of that. I'll protect you. You just got to stay in this house and not have sex with any other man. How about that?
Well, then I'll steal your freedom. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Oh,
so I'm going to lock you in this house, theory. In this box. You're going to take care of this box and you're going to like it. You're going to feel safe.
Safe and
right?
secure.
So even till today, right? Even till today, most, I don't want to say most, but many women, the idea of security is a ring.
Yeah, this
they
is
want
true.
The ring, and they want the man that's making a certain income and that can put them in a nice house. We can see that today,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just feel that this came from the space of the man saying, I want to be sure that baby is mine so that I can hand this property to him.
Okay, I'm hearing you. I'm feeling your theory. I get that. I'm guessing inheritance did play a big
that,
role. Continue, sorry.
Beyond that, the man would keep on fucking other women, right? But now, those women, usually single women, what would they do? They would say, it costs money if you want to sleep with me. And if you want me to shut up, not tell your wife that you're still fucking, even though you told her she can't fuck, you're going to need to pay me money.
That's how prostitutes came into being.
Prostitution, right. And marriage and prostitution and now porn are three of the biggest, most powerful factors in today's world that control men's behavior. Marriage, prostitution, porn.
Okay. I mean, I get, no, that's a nice theory. I get what you're saying. But what's stopping, but to be honest, what's stopping women from just, because that's true, but there's still many stories of women having guys coming over and sleeping with them when the men's out working. And then she's pregnant, and then she's like, oh shit. And he's, and she's like, honey, I'm pregnant. He's like, oh. And then they have the kid, and he has no idea that that's not his kid.
Right. And this is what brings about the insecurity in a lot of men. Because they're like, oh, even though I made this idea, it's not 100% foolproof. She could still get another penis if she really wanted to.
I mean, he's not in the house for like 12 hours of the day. I think she could squeeze in a penis every now and again, you know?
Exactly. So this is why women get abused, you know, by their partners. And jealousy is a huge part of modern relationships in that sense.
Okay. That's a nice
And that point. Whole toxic behavior produces a lot of what we see.
But, okay, so you're saying because, okay, so from what you said, how you theorized it, now that you said that, I do agree that property does play a massive role in, how do I say, in inheritance and in this desire to pass on your what you have to something else, especially to your child, because you live on and through your child. That's why guys, but I feel like that's only to do with guys wanting males and they wanted an heir to carry on their legacy. I feel like that's what that's more related to. It's related to the fact that these powerful men, they've done all of this shit their entire life for queen and country or for tribe or for whatever they did it for or for glory. And they've got all of this accomplishment. What does it amount to in the end when you have nothing? So then it's like, oh, let me get with this woman. Let me have a kid. Hopefully it's a guy. So then I can pass on a part of myself to my son. So then he can carry on the legacy I started. I feel like that's to do with more of the inheritance thing. I get where you're coming from, but I mean, it does have a tie into what's happening with this society. I think it's more to do with what you touched on earlier about World War II. I feel like that's what's happening. Not globally, but I feel like, like in our countries that we're living in, World War II is a massive, massive factor for how they are now. Because it's like Japan was literally an imperial nation that was taking over people. Like they took over almost all of Southeast Asia. They took over everywhere. And then they got bombed twice. And then it's like, okay, GG, we out. We out. We don't want this. And then they turned into this Sailor Moon kawaii guys just wanting to just talk to anime girls country. It's like they kind of got, like, I hate to say this, but it feels like they got muted. Kind of feels like they got their balls chopped off. But
I hear you.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like what you said before. It's like, look, don't be nice. Don't, you know, express yourself. Don't say that. Just be nice. Just do what we say. Do the right thing. And I do believe that's more on point with what you touched and what's going on now. Because if you compare it to what's happening in Europe, like, no, it's not a part of Europe anymore, the UK and America, like, America is, of course, the same, but their influence more on the Civil War, right? The break from Britain. That's what carved their country to be what it is, right? And the UK is the way the UK is because of, I'm guessing, the royal family and the Vikings that kept trying to come over here, and the Romans. That's what forged Britain to be Britain. So I feel like it's more wars made society the way society is now. Inheritance.
Here's the thing, though. Why do they have to be separate?
I'm not.
Put it this way.
Okay, go on.
World War II, right?
Yeah.
In the aftermath of World War II.
Yeah.
Germany was split up into four parts.
Yeah.
Owned by UK, US, Russia, and France.
Okay.
They essentially own that land in those four parts.
Mm-hmm.
Once you own that land, once you're a person with a power and you have that land, how do you make sure it stays in your family?
You marry people from your family into their family. Hence it stays right, in the bloodline.
That's it. So apart from just marriage itself, there's a degree of incest that comes into it as well. And when you go higher up in these structures, right, what you see is, strategic marriage.
Oh yeah,
is what's happening.
Oh yeah,
it's just strategic. It's the definitely. Same with the royal family.
Yeah,
royal family. It's all just who's marrying who.
Yes,
so why that we can control where this property goes, where this land goes, and the philosophies that come with it.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I see where you're coming from. You're saying that in the whole inheritance thing is connected to the war thing, which is connected to the reason why people are the way they are, with the guys being emasculated and the women with all the masculinity. And okay, I see what you're going.
It's all about world domination. And the thing is that the whole thing about emasculated men, for the most part, that's just the masses, right? The general public. The people who are at the quote unquote top, they don't buy into that. They're still cutthroat. They're still, I want to go for what I want.
Yeah.
Like Germany has a reputation of, before I came here, the reputation was, oh yeah, Germans are, they're very direct. You know, they're very straightforward. They're very cutthroat.
Yeah. That
wasn't
my
experience. So I was like, how could this come to be? And what I realized was that reputation was speaking about the businessmen. So the high powered businessmen that people would have interactions with. It wasn't speaking about the general public. So the general public is like, hey guys, you just be nice. Just, you know, keep spending your money and go and work your 9-to-5 and just watch TV on the weekends. You know, just don't worry about it. Everything is cool. Everything's fine. And behind the scenes, it's wars being waged for control of land, for control of mines, and strategic marriages going on to make sure that certain properties and certain inheritances flow down certain routes.
Yeah, but that, like I'm saying, but that's what the rich do. But that's more to do with the rich. Like I said, that's more to do with when you've gained so much power, so much glory, so much whatever you have, you don't want to do all of that work for nothing. And so you want, the reason why people push shit down is because they don't want their time to be wasted. They don't want to do all of that shit their entire life and get all of this glory, all of these awards, all of this money, just have it squandered and disappear when they die. So they want to have this legacy of a child to pass it on to, so all of their work wasn't for nothing and they live on through their child with all of their money. That's why all of these people keeping the land. It's like you said, that's why these royal families, they want to keep the land that they have, even though they didn't do anything to actually work to have this land. It's just something that was given to them by birth. They didn't do anything for it because it's their forefathers from eons ago that worked for it or did something to get it. And now they're just living on past glory. That's what it is. That's right. What inheritance is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All I'm saying is that everything is connected.
Of course.
Everything is connected.
Of course.
The reasons that rich people do it are different from the reasons that not so rich people do it. And the quote-unquote poorer you go in this system, in this pyramid, the less people understand why they do things. And that's why we have TV. So TV can just show you what you're supposed to do, you know, and you don't really understand why. It's just like, oh yeah, so when I get to a certain age, I'm supposed to get down on one knee.
Yes, yes,
and say,
yes, yes.
Will you marry me?
This is what... You know? Okay, so you see, there's a lot of things we're talking about in this. This is like what our first episode. There's a lot of things we're talking about in this episode that we have to go into way more detail. We need to go into way more detail. I mean, we've got 5 more minutes left, but we have gone through a lot. And we need to go into way more detail about many of the things we've talked. Like, even What did you just say? Oh, like, okay, yeah, because you said the TV and stuff, right? There's so much, like, that is going on behind the scenes. That is, it's like magic. It's like people are looking at the that trick.
Is a perfect word.
People are looking at the trick, but not actually paying attention to the magician. And all of these people, all of these people at the top, all of them in government positions, in royal families, these are the magicians. And they're just like, shit, we are in a certain particular situation. You know what we're going to do? Let's do this magic trick to avert their eyes whilst we either run away or deal with the situation before they find out. Or if it does happen, let's make an excuse. So whilst the magician is fucking like doing his trick, he's like, fuck, okay, shit, I need to get this ready. And then everyone's just looking at the hands like, ooh, it's all sleight of hand. It's all it is. It's like, bro, in America right now, everyone, I don't give a fuck who you think you are. If you did not see that crowd that marched on Capitol Hill and literally ran up on Congress whilst it was still in progress, and those officials had to run out of that room because they were afraid for their lives, right? If no one sees that as an actual attempted coup, then you are a fucking piece of shit. And you fucking know it. Because that was a coup. They attempted a coup. They literally ran up on the floor and they were like, where is everyone at? And then when they didn't see anything, they were like, okay, guess we're going to take over now. We should issue some laws. And they're like, oh, Donald Trump, they stole it from him. Bitch, you know, they ain't still shit. It's just people. And what is it? Republicans? The Republicans know. They know this. But what they're trying to do is, because of most of the people in that country are white, and they still, and white people still hold power, they want to keep these white people happy. So let's just play like, oh, they did steal it, so we can keep these white people happy so we can stay in power. So let's do this sleight of hand thing where we tell everyone that, yeah, we agree with you, but basically they don't. They don't agree. They knew what was going on. Most of their lives were in fucking danger. But they just want to say, yeah, we agree with you guys. Yeah, they stole it. Just so they can hold on to power. And it's... how people cannot see that, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Bro, the way I see it, it's even deeper than that. It's even deeper than that. The way I see it, that whole thing... is part of the magic trick. That's a whole show. That's a whole show. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care if you black, white, red, yellow, purple, gray, green, right? You run up on that spot. If you run up on Capitol Hill, right, and you're not supposed to, US, America, the United States of America, right, with the military budget that they have, they're killing everyone. I don't give a fuck if you black, white, gray, green. Dude. They're killing. If you're not supposed to be there, you're getting killed.
Standard. Right there,
that was a show. That was a show to have the world look at. Hey, look at this. And then the whole narrative was, oh, if those people were black, they would have been shot, right? Yeah. And again, that may be true. That may be true. At the same time, the fact that we are directing energy and anger towards that is taking away from something else.
Something else that they're doing.
It's focusing on their show, on their theater production.
Ah, these magicians. And people are like, oh no, they're not that smart to be able to do something like that. You do understand that these are the people that are in charge of countries. They have access to insane amount of information and people of great intelligence that can come up with ways to fool you. You do understand they're talking to advertising companies, big conglomerates that can literally put an advert on the screen to make you want to buy something. These are things like
there's a movie called The Focus, right?
Yeah.
I think it's with Will Smith. And there's a scene in there where I think they're messing with some businessmen.
Yeah.
And they want him to choose a certain number of a player on the field, on the football field. And what they showed is that the whole, and see, this is what I'm talking about, truth in movies, right? They took you through a process of how they programmed his mind from like 24 hours before. And they were just taking him places where they were showing him the number 55, 55, 55 in coded language. They played a certain song on his, in his hotel room, which says woo woo like 120 times. And woo is the Chinese for five.
Oh,
so they're just saying five, five.
Oh,
you know, they sent a hooker. They sent a hooker to his room who had a tramp stamp tattoo with 55 hidden in there. And they just showed you every single way that they were programming his mind. So when he got to the game, they're like, yeah, you know, choose somebody, anyone you want. He looks down the field with his binoculars and says, I feel good about that one. And he points at number 55. And I'm just like, shit, if they put that in a movie, why would that not be real? Like, why would that not be real?
Oh my God.
Thing is, these ideas have to come from somewhere.
Dude, we need to talk about this movie stuff.
Definitely.
That's going to be great.
Definitely.
Man, we've been talking for an hour and a half. It's been an hour and a half, man. It's been an hour and a half. We got to end it here. And yeah. Hopefully we do have that intro and outro music to just fade in and fade out, because I'll put that in later. Hopefully people are hearing it now, the music fading in to show the end of the podcast. This was a, how do you feel, man?
I feel fulfilled. I feel a bit tingly. I hope that, people are able to listen to this with an open mind.
Yeah.
And to take from it, you know, even if you don't agree with what came up.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. We can have different perspectives.
Yeah. We need to end it with, like I said in the tester one, this is not a fight against anyone. We're not going against anyone's thinking or beliefs. And yeah, it's okay to disagree. I think there's a lot of things we didn't actually explain properly and things that we do have to go into a bit more depth on later episodes. But this is the first one, and we touched on quite a lot, that we do need to just pick one subject and just go deeper into it. Because we went everywhere. I think we just came here and just wanted to just talk about everything, man. It's been good. So we need to sign out. How are you signing out?
Yeah, man.
Much love.
It's always love, and it's always wholeness.
Yeah.
Yes.
And please don't be afraid to speak, and do not let this world censor you.
Yes, I love that.
Alright, man. It's been blessed, man. Be out.
Peace.